Senator Daley with me anymore. Must be committee deadline week. Members, call to order the Senate Jobs Economic Growth Committee. We've got a number of bills that we're going to take, and we're going to be a little choppy on the order we take them based upon who is ready and who is not ready. We wanted to give the honor of lead off to Senator Cohen. He's waiting on one. So, Senator Nelson, who we delayed yesterday. Apologize for that, Senator Nelson, but Senate File 2355. And then, Senator Nelson, if you have, I have a couple names down, but yeah, if your folks could join you at the table, that'd be great. And members, I'm told there are a couple of letters in your packet. One from the mayor of Rochester, and another from some guy named Penny. Tim Penny. Some old has-been. No.
Thank you.
Congressman Penny. Senator Nelson, nice to have you with us. And again, apologize for not being able to get to your bill and your folks yesterday.
Today's great, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you Senate File 2355 for your consideration. This bill will help address something that came to my attention over the interim as I was in my district holding meetings with different business leaders, and one of the common things they mentioned was that there was a lack of investment capital. And this bill will help better connect investors across the state with new and emerging Greater Minnesota businesses in order to help boost entrepreneurs and new companies in rural Minnesota. And that's what we're here for as a jobs committee. Specifically, this bill increases the angel investment tax credit from 25% to 50% for investment in businesses in Greater Minnesota. As you may recall, and as we have visited about in our last couple days, as we've talked about angel investment tax credit, the program was instituted in 2010 and provides a 25% credit to investors who put money into new businesses across the state. The tax credit is limited to $125,000 per year per individual, with a maximum of $250,000 for those married filing jointly. It is designed to put money into startup and emerging companies across the state with a focus on high-tech companies. However, I'm concerned that this program is being applied disproportionately. In 2011, 90% of the businesses receiving a qualifying investment under this program were in the metro area versus only 10% in Greater Minnesota. Now, this was a 1% increase from 2010. However, still a great disparity. And 87% of the total investments made as a result of this program in 2011 were in the metro area versus 13% in Greater Minnesota. You have a pie chart. Is that in your packets? Thank you. That kind of lays those numbers out for you in a graphic way. And this bill will help address that disparity. It will help draw out new investors across Greater Minnesota and the state, and they're looking to help new businesses in Greater Minnesota. It will encourage investors located in the metro area to give a first or a second look at Greater Minnesota businesses, and it will help communities that do not already have a built-in network of entrepreneurial activity or knowledge to compete with those communities that do. It will allow our communities to continue growing by helping plant the seed for new entrepreneurs. And finally, it's about making sure that statewide incentive programs are working for all of the state. I'm joined today by two testifiers, Gary Smith with the Rochester Area Economic Development and J.D. Burton with the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. They will share their insight on this legislation with you. And, of course, you have some letters in your packet as well. With that, Mr. Chair, might I turn it over to...
Please. Thank you, Senator Nelson.
Gary Newman.
Mr. Chair, I'm Gary Newman. I'm the Assistant City Administrator for Rochester. And
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Newman.
Thank you very much. I've worked for the city for 30 years, and during that time, I've worked on all of the industrial and manufacturing development projects that the city's been involved in. We've used tax increment financing. We've used industrial revenue bonds, Job Z, and I'm currently working with several companies that are in the area of regenerative medicine, which we think has great potential for the for our economy and for the state of Minnesota. The report from Deed indicates a concern that less than they anticipated in investment funds have been going to Greater Minnesota. And, you know, if it's a statewide program, we would hope that a fairly equitable amount of funding would be applied. There's probably 30% of the economy in Greater Minnesota, probably 40% of the people, and 10% of the investment dollars. So from my perspective, working with companies for a long time, we usually are working with local investors, local bank connections, and we have fewer people, I think, in the position that can invest in companies than they have in the metro area. So I think increasing the amount, as is proposed in this bill, is one of the best ways I can think of to truly make this a statewide angel investment tax credit and provide a little more equity in where the funding is going. We would appreciate that opportunity to use that to grow some jobs for Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Mr. Chairman, my name is J.D. Burton. I'm here on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. I want to thank Senator Nelson, Senator Peterson, and others for supporting this legislation as we're moving forward. The Coalition has always been supportive of the Angel Investment Tax Credit Program. We supported it in 2010. We were glad to see it put into place. We see the need to help boost entrepreneurial development across the state. And when the legislation was passed in 2010, we actually initiated a provision in it that would track where those investments were going, because we wanted to make sure that it was being applied across the state on an even matter. It doesn't have to be necessarily be 50-50, but we want to make sure that all the state was being willing to invest. And today, this program remains a program that the CGMC supports very strongly. But it's because of our support of that we were troubled to learn and to see the reports of how wide the disparity had been in the application between the metro area and Greater Minnesota. Senator Nelson alluded to the handout that we provided, which gives more of a graphic display of where things are going. They have increased slightly from 2010 to 2011, but still, it's a very small fraction of the investments that are actually occurring. Our members are concerned that if this program actually as designed may not be working as well as we anticipated or it should for Greater Minnesota. That's why we support the legislation today. This credit is actually part of a larger economic recovery plan that the CGMC brought to the legislature this year. This actual provision was initiated after the consultation of over 35 Greater Minnesota county cities, economic development authorities, foundations, local chambers of commerce, and others. And in fact, there are several business organizations across Greater Minnesota that are supporting this program and this legislation formally, including Laverne, Albert Lea, Freeborn County, Crookston, Cloquet, Le Sueur, and the Worthington Chambers of Commerce, as well as the Worthington Regional Economic Development Corporation.
So, Mr. Burton, sorry to interrupt, but when you talk about your members supporting, your members are cities. Are you representing angels or entrepreneurs or investors, or are you talking about the cities that hope to benefit from them?
Mr. Chairman, the coalition represents cities. The groups that we worked with were chambers, and the groups that endorsed it have chambers. We do not represent angel investment funds or angel investors.
Okay, I just want to be clear on that. Please continue.
We believe that this, by increasing this credit, it may be enough to have investors take a second look or a first look at a Greater Minnesota community or a business that's outside of their home area. But most importantly, we believe that there needs to be something to reduce the disparity that we're seeing in the application of this program, particularly because the program, as you know, is set to expire in a few years. We can't wait for things to get better. Our cities can't wait to catch up to what's happening in the metro area. We want the program to be successful for everybody. We want it to continue for everybody. And we believe that doubling the credit is one option to help us narrow that gap, help move us forward. So we hope that you will be supportive of this effort. We hope that you will be able to continue to support the Angel Investment Tax Credit Program. I know, Mr. Chairman, you mentioned yesterday how you wanted to make sure that we could see this program growing and moving forward as a successful program. We want to see that, too. We agree. We think this is one way to help do that for all of the state. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to present, and I'd be willing to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kulesh.
I'm disturbed by the fact that we only have 2 years of history on this to say that this is a huge trend that is not working. I'm disturbed by the fact that the businesses in outstate Minnesota can't compete for the same investment credit dollars under the same standards that the folks in the metro area are doing, and that a 50% advantage to outstate will, in fact, take money out of the metro area to perhaps less worthy companies. And you know, why does outstate need an unfair advantage for attracting these dollars? Is there something in particular that makes these companies less desirable that is causing this discrepancy in percentages? And doesn't the trend show that you're actually increasing the investment in outstate as the program develops?
Senator Nelson, you want to take a shot at that?
Sure. Senator Kielash, I'll just read to you two quotes from the March 15, 2011 Minnesota Angel Tax Credit Program annual report from Deed. Although the program has been operating for less than a year at that time, the department has identified an unanticipated low level of participation by Greater Minnesota businesses. The department has a goal of increasing the number of and investment in businesses receiving investment in Greater Minnesota. So it is a statewide program. The disparity is quite large, and although it did increase, it was by only 1%. And we're halfway, actually, I believe, through the program. So, and with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Burton.
Sure. Mr. Burton. Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash, I think you talked about, you mentioned an advantage or a competitive advantage that this would create. We believe that there is already a competitive advantage that exists in the metro area. We believe there's a competitive advantage that have existed prior to this angel tax credit being put into place. In fact, the CGMC, for the last decade, had been trying to institute something like this for Greater Minnesota because we saw a competitive advantage that already existed. We feel that the results of the credit, even over the short time frame, has exhibited that competitive advantage, disadvantage that Greater Minnesota has. We're trying to level that out. You mentioned that the program has only started in a year and a half, and may not be enough information to know whether we are moving in the right direction. But the program expires in a couple of years. Our members can't wait for this to catch up. Unless the legislature determines that they're going to extend this indefinitely, we don't know how long it's going to take for us to catch up. And our communities need those new investments just like everybody else does. So we think this is balancing the competitive advantage that already existed in the metro area.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kiss, I want to let you go some more on this because I think we'll have to mark this down. This might be one of the first times a committee when I'm with Senator Kielash.
Joy.
Mr. Burton, I don't think you've answered the question. The question is, you've said that you keep stating there is a competitive disadvantage. What is that, and why is that? I don't see any indication that Deed or the state government is somehow discriminating against outstate investors. I'm not even sure there should be an address on the application for an angel tax credit. We're looking for good ideas, and we want to grow them wherever they are in the state. And I actually look over at Senator Metzen now and think, this program better not expire. We do need to continue and extend it and absolutely revise it if there's some ways to make it work better. But I'm a little nervous about someone's definition of equity or fairness, because Thomasoni's definition of fairness is take things up north, and my definition of fairness is take things out west.
No.
And that's why
not
we
far
come
enough.
Here. That's why we come here.
Me and DeCrae agree on this one.
So, Senator Kielash, follow up, and I apologize for interrupting your line of thinking,
well,
Senator.
Mr. Chair, I think one of the things that this angel tax credit, the investors are the ones that are making the decision as to where they want to invest which companies they want to invest their dollars in and take advantage of the credit. And so the investors are the ones that are saying that, these companies look better than those companies in outstate, but or Greater Minnesota, whatever. And my concern is that, you know, this, you know, by giving them, giving the outstate or greater Minnesota this extra, you know, you doubled it. You didn't go 10% greater or whatever. You doubled it, that you're going to be actually siphoning in investor dollars away from metro area and to outstate because of the great, the huge increase in the percentage of tax credits that these folks are getting. So I guess my question is that haven't the investors spoken on this? And isn't that really who's deciding where the credits are going to?
Mr. Burke.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash, certainly there's a component of this that we recognize is dependent on what the investor decides to do. I mean, they're the one who is putting the money in. And the Angel Tax Credit is only a small part of what they consider, I would assume, when making an investment. I think our concern still gets back to how can we create a little more of a nudge towards looking at a greater Minnesota business that maybe an investor, particularly in the metro area, maybe looking at something that is farther away from their home, maybe not as easy to track down where their investment's actually going. If there's a little more of an assurance that this can provide that, then we want to encourage that. But in the end, you're correct. It ultimately comes down to what that investor wants to choose.
Senator Tomasoni.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, what disturbs me, Senator Kielash, is the disproportionate amount of investment that has gone into the metro area as opposed to greater Minnesota. And that was never the intent when this program was put together. Now, I would think that if, in fact, the metro area has such a huge advantage that investors will want to invest there, that this 50% credit won't make any difference. The idea is to offer them an incentive to at least look at rural Minnesota and say, this is where we might want to go, and maybe this investment credit will help us get there. But when you look at this pie chart, it's obvious that something is wrong and that there's something that's not working the way the program was originally intended. I don't know if this will even change those numbers. This may just sit in law and say, well, it didn't work. It's obvious that they don't want to go to rural Minnesota, and so they're all going to go to the metro area. But I think at least this way we'll find out if it's the credit that's causing the businesses to go to rural Minnesota or if it's just the resources that are in the metro area that makes them go there. So I think this at least gives us a chance to find out what is really going on here.
Senator Kreif.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. They say politics makes for strange bedfellows. And where you and Senator
Kielash
are on the same page.
Are we strange?
I will say that that I absolutely believe that when a business is looking to locate, the metro area does have an advantage, and the advantage, I think, is that they have a machine in place built to draw business. They have chamber; each city has their own chamber of commerce. They're building, large organizations up here for the seven county metro area to draw business to this area, and they're suggesting that that rural Minnesota will benefit from it as well from the remnants. Well, I'm suggesting that rural Minnesota shouldn't just have to settle for the remnants. Rural Minnesota has an awful lot to offer. Rural Minnesota is trying to save their towns. They're trying to keep their kids, in town. They want to draw businesses so that they can keep their kids in town. Some people think it's because of a lack of education, and I don't think that's the thing. The people are in rural Minnesota are going to get an education as well, but then they're going to where the jobs are. If the jobs are in rural Minnesota, they will go back to rural Minnesota, but they have to follow the jobs. So I'm in support of greater Minnesota and rural Minnesota because we are at a disadvantage. We don't have the organization in greater Minnesota that the metro area has. And I think it really does place us at a disadvantage. And I want to see greater Minnesota have the same advantages. And we have an awful lot of work to do there. But this is just one tool in the toolbox.
And Senator, thank you, Senator Kreif. Senator Nelson, one thought I might have. So we have Senator Lilly's got another bill where we'll hear from the department. And so at that time, it might be interesting to get their thought about the geographical spread on this topic. So I think what I'd like to do, turn to Senator Nelson for any concluding remarks or testimony. I'd like to lay this on the table in front of the committee and chew on it some more. Not chew on it negatively, Senator Nelson. I appreciate your advocacy for Rochester in particular. And I think this has kind of woken up the committee to thinking about this in a different way. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try to use this opportunity. I really understand this proposal, and I have traveled a little bit in greater Minnesota, kind of look at what is going on in terms of what needs to be done in terms of more investment in greater Minnesota. And I argue that if we don't partner and work together on this, then we're going to continue to argue about our schools and everything. So I'm not necessarily totally opposed to this, but I would like to take this opportunity to ask the department. I have an amendment, Senator Nelson, that I would like to ask for your support. But before I do it, I would like to ask the department if they could provide some information that fits into this pie about minority-owned and women-owned business, and if you could give me a percentage so that I get a sense of when we talk about the 91% in the metro area, if you could give me a sense of what percentage of minority and women-owned fits into that category before I move into my amendment, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Isaacson, I'm not sure if you're prepared to testify on this bill, but thank you for joining us again, and we'll need you for a couple bills this morning.
Absolutely. Good morning. My name is Bob Isaacson. I'm Director of Business Finance with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Mr. Chair, Senator Torres Ray, at this point, we don't collect information on women-owned, minority-owned demographic elements within the ANGEL program itself. We collect information on the location, the industry, and various business elements, but we don't get into the actual demographics of the ownership of the business itself.
A follow-up, Mr. Chairman. We corrected that yesterday, so hopefully you will continue. In the future, you will. Is there any anecdotal information that you could offer? Do we have participation of minorities in this program?
Senator, or Mr. Chair, Senator Torres Ray, at this point, I couldn't even fathom a guess. We don't have any demographics on any individual or the businesses themselves other than location where they're located. So it's tough to indicate just by their name and their location what ethnicity they might be or whether they're women-owned or not.
Thank you, Mr. Isaacson. What I know anecdotally, members, is that we have almost zero participation of people of color and very little participation of women. And I really appreciate that yesterday you supported my effort to incorporate that language into the bill so that we will begin to collect information. And today I would like to ask for your support to incorporate an amendment that changes that, because I think that we need to do more to expand businesses in rural Minnesota. We need to expand businesses in urban Minnesota. We need to expand businesses among people who really need to be in business, and we need to create economic self-sufficiency. So I have an oral amendment for this bill that will incorporate in line 210, page 2, line 10, after Minnesota, comma, and minority and women-owned business, the same in page 2, line 219, after business, 228, after business, page 4, 8, after Minnesota, and minority and women-owned business. I do not believe that we need to define minority and women-owned, although greater Minnesota is defined because of the geographic explanation of what geographic area is. So I presume, but I will rely on staff's advice to define minority and women. And page 32, after business, and minority and women-owned business. And I think those are the only places in which So the amendment adds to the category of Greater Minnesota and minority and women-owned business wherever is necessary. So that's my amendment, Mr. Chair. That's my amendment, Senator Olson. Now, excuse me.
Thank you, Senator Ray. I'm looking at Senate Counsel to see if she's even been able to capture all of that. And one suggestion I would have for you, Senator Ray, is you, knowing of your belief in this particular issue, you may want to take a quick look at Senator Lilly's bill, which is also the department's bill, which we'll take up a little later today and see. I'm not sure if this direction that you want to go could be incorporated into that. We will be sending Senator Lilly's bill. Well, I would hope we'd be sending Senator Lilly's bill to the Tax Committee after our discussion today. So, Senate Counsel, have you been able to digest the Torres-Ray motion?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, and Senator Torres-Ray, on line 2.10, is that are you proposing that the definition of qualified Greater Minnesota business is changed, or on? Excuse me, Mr. Chair. No, I'm not changing that. So I'm leaving the definition. So I'm just making an addition to that concept. So I'm not replacing. I'm adding minority and women owned to that category for the 50% investment. In reality, Mr. Chairman, I agree with you. I think that creating artificial definitions for investment in business just does not work. Because we need to create the capacity to grow business and compete. That's how business works.
Take a look at
this. Yet we're kind of playing with the idea today that we may want to experiment on a special investment. And I have, I guess I will entertain that. So that's why I'm adding these categories to play with the 50%. Really, philosophically, I disagree with the notion of creating artificial investments, but I'm willing to experiment, I guess. We need to do whatever it takes to increase participation in these three areas, in Greater Minnesota and minority-owned.
Senator Torres-Ray, could I ask a favor of you? Mm-hmm. Could you withdraw your motion at this time? Let's make sure with Senate Counsel that we've got this to your liking. And then can we bring it up when Senator Lilly's bill comes up? Because what I want to do is I'm looking at the time already, and I want to be able to listen to Senator Cohen's bill before noon and Senator Ortman's bill, two members who are not on our committee. But we will come back to this angel tax issue, and after Senator Lilly presents, I'll turn to you first. And in the meantime, you'll be able to connect with the Senate Counsel to make sure we've got what you want captured. Is that acceptable?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Senator Nelson, any concluding comments at this point?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like the committee to examine this chart carefully and realize that we deal with disparities in a lot of ways in this state, whether it be in the Health Committee. Now we're talking about the Jobs Committee. And quite frankly, to have a state program that has such disparities as this is really unconscionable. It is truly not a state program. One could say it might be a Met Council program if you were to look at these graphs here. And so, Mr. Chair, I would like to move Senate File 2355 and have it re-referred to taxes. Since it is a tax issue and it does deal with taxes, we've kind of discussed the job element of here. I would move that Senate File 2355 be re-referred to taxes.
Well, Senator Nelson, you're open to do that, but I just had a member of the committee, I think, politely withdraw an amendment so that we could deal with it a little later. So I guess I would ask the same of you. If we can get back to the angel tax bills, both yours and Senator Lilly's, after we deal with these other two bills, there would certainly be time for you to make that motion.
Well, Mr. Chair, I actually would prefer to make it now. I know I've had folks come to this committee yesterday, and again today. And I can't see why. I don't see this as competing with any of those bills at all. In fact, Mr. Chair, your bill that we saw yesterday, which is a great bill, actually adds an additional $4 million to the Angel Investor Tax Credit Program. I think this is a great companion bill with that. So I would really – I will keep my motion that we re-refer it to taxes, Mr. Chair, with all due respect.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, okay.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, as a Metro member, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I carried this bill, I believe, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, and I, quite frankly, thought it would be more of a statewide significant bill. And so I agree with you, Senator Nelson. I don't know if the double... doubling it is the right number, but it seems to me there should be some tweaking of it and maybe look at this, maybe have a sunset on your provision for a year or two to see if we're picking up some stuff. So I don't very seldom disagree with my good friend Senator Kielash and the chairman, but I was the author of it, and I didn't think it would be 80 to 20 or 85 to 15 or whatever the numbers are. So I would support your efforts. I don't know if the doubling is the right answer, but I think we should have a window to look at it for a year or two and have it expire if it's not working. And that would be somewhere compromise I would make. And so I don't think about that, I guess.
Senator Kielash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen brings up a good point, which is before we decide that we're going to move this, we have, Senator Torres-Ray has an amendment to it. I think what Senator Metzen just suggested is probably a good amendment to it. I would like to bring up a lowering of the 50 to something more reasonable, like 35%. That would still be an advantage, but not as great a one. But if we are going to take Senator Nelson's motion, then we need to finish working on the bill in our committee before we send it to some other committee.
I agree.
Senator Howe?
She shouldn't push it.
Well, I was just going to – thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to speak to the proposed amendment that was withdrawn by Senator Torres-Ray. Although I agree with what she's saying, I'm thinking that maybe should be something that should be addressed on Senator Lilly's bill, but because that is going to make this even exasperate this problem that we're seeing on the graph even more by adding that language, that's the issue. I also serve on taxes, so I know we'll be seeing this and we'll be working on it again. A lot of times in committees, issues come up. And thoughts come up to it, and then we work with the author as it moves to the next committee rather than chewing up all the time, because if we're going to get it exactly in the exact form that everybody here is going to agree to it, and no matter what happens, we're probably not going to all agree on this bill, but as it makes its way through the next stage, we work with the author and say, and you have an opportunity. We all have members that serve on different, of our caucus that serve on the various committees, and that's how we can be a little more efficient here, because we could be here until noon working on, or until midnight working on Senator Nelson's bill. I would advocate that we move it along and that we work on it. And it certainly needs work. And I think Senator Nelson is a person who's would address some of our concerns as we move forward.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Nelson,
I will promise to work on any of those concerns, of course.
Senator Kielash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, sorry, Mr. Senator Peter, how it's, this is our job to work on this bill right here. This is not the tax committee's job. This is our job right here. That's why it started in this bill, because this is a jobs bill. So if we've got fixes on this bill, then we need to make them, and the tax committee can do their work and deal with the taxes part of it. But this needs work. We have, Senator Torres-Ray's got an amendment. I'd like an amendment. I think Senator Metzen would like to do a little amendment on this. So let's do the work, take the time necessary. I thought the chair had a reasonable argument to let's do the angel tax investor bills together, and Senator Nelson chose to vote to move, so then we have to fix it before we do that. So, Mr. Chair, where are we now? As far as what were you doing?
Senator Lilly.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we lay this bill on the table at this time.
Senator Lilly moves to lay the bill on the
table.
That's
all right. That's all right.
Senator Metzen, did you want to speak to the...
No, Senator Nelson, I think most of us are, some of us are talking to help you with this thing. So let's, why don't you, well, first of all, I don't think the motion is debatable. So
motion to lay it on the table is a superior motion.
That's correct. Some of us are trying to help you, so let's not push it. I would recommend.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the idea then to bring this, to discuss this later today and try to move it forward with Senator Lilly's bill?
That's certainly my idea, Senator Miller.
Yeah.
Stated that.
Then I'd be in support of the motion.
All right, on the Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I may have misunderstood your motion to table, but if the motion to table is to continue to have a hearing on this at a later time and be able to refer it to taxes, I'm in favor as long as it eventually gets to taxes because it is a tax bill. So that's the motion. I am in favor of it.
It's a jobs bill.
On the motion to table, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Nelson and members. We don't appreciate the work that's still going on that. So that went a little longer than we thought. So, Senator Cohen, I know you have some folks here, and then we'll take up Senator Ortman's bill next. Senator Cohen. Yes. Senator Cohen, welcome back.
I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure everybody has missed me, I assume. I hope.
I have personally missed you, Senator Cohen. No one else has expressed that, but.
And I know during the course of the session you've said that to me many times, so I appreciate that. And I hope you'll treat me accordingly relative to Senate File 1894. Senate File 1894 is a bill requested by St. Paul. Members are aware that the Ford Motor Plant closed in December, had been opened, I think, since 1922. The auto manufacturing industry has come back economically, but there has been downsizing around the country, and Ford felt that the St. Paul plant was, from their purposes, not usable. We had been through this issue once before in St. Paul, and I guess I should add, Mr. Chairman, members, that I'm authoring the bill. The Ford plant is in my district, or what was the Ford plant is in my district. We had been through this issue before in 1996 when Ford discussed closing the plant. At that time, there was more room to negotiate with Ford, see if there was some middle ground. And what was determined was that there would be a joint effort between the state, Minsku, and Ford to establish a training facility on plant grounds, which would be utilized not just by Ford but by the state and by Minsku as well. And that worked successfully for a number of years, but whatever Ford's economic determination was these past couple of years overrode what we thought could be offered. In the process then of closing the plant, because Ford broke its agreement with the state, there is left what I'm told is approximately $1.8 million from the lease. It was a 25-year lease. They broke it 10 years early. And so what we're requesting on behalf of the city of St. Paul is that a special revenue fund be created indeed that could be utilized with that money remaining from the Ford plant for job creation incentives and investments to work with the redevelopment of this property. If members have been in and around the Ford plant, it's a very large parcel of property. It'll make for a combination use urban area, which will be fairly unique these days in urban America, much less or urban Minnesota, much less urban America. And the expectation is that it'll be used for a variety of residential and commercial purposes. So present is Ms. Cecile Bedora, who is head of Planning and Economic Development in St. Paul, and can address this in a little bit more detail.
Before we get to Ms. Bedora, so Senator Cohen, as using your old finance chair hat, I wonder if you could help me on a couple points here. So I guess number one, what can you give us a ballpark? I mean, is there any sense of what kind of money we could be talking about here, amount?
I believe the amount is $1.8 million.
Okay.
That's correct.
And then, well, I think that's probably it for now. So let's go to Ms. Bedora. Ms. Bedora, thank you for coming to the committee. And it's, if memory serves, it's good to have it's good to see someone from Minnetonka working hard for the city of St. Paul.
I'm regional in my approach.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Just a couple of points to add to what Senator Cohen noted. This plant has been operating for over 125 years. At its high point, it employed over 2,300 folks. About 20% of them lived in the city of St. Paul, and the balance lived in the, throughout the rest of the region, which is why the legislature and the governor over the years has really viewed this site and the Ford plant as a regional asset and a really important employer. Again, as Mr. Senator Cohen said, in 1996, you did provide funding for the training center. They are going to demolish it as part of the redevelopment plans, and as a result, do have that payment to come back. We did a lot of work, this body, the legislature did, with the governor and the mayor to attempt to save the Ford plant. The building of the training center was one strategy to try to keep Ford here to continue to invest and retain those jobs. In addition, there was a package of incentives that was passed by the legislature in 2010. Then Governor Pawlenty and Mayor Coleman presented that to Ford Motor Company, and unfortunately it just wasn't enough. So I think there's been a lot of efforts to try to save that plant, and now we're really focused on how we can really make sure we get the biggest bang for our buck out of this redevelopment and make sure to the greatest extent possible that we create new jobs on that site. And the competition to create these jobs is really fierce. While we all want the free market and the tremendous assets as a state and the region and the city of St. Paul have to offer, we know that oftentimes the tipping point for this kind of investment is some type of incentive. The Ford site green manufacturing study, which the legislature commissioned in 2008, found that incentives are likely needed to attract new employers. The first of five key recommendations from the report states that, quote, many local and state governments have stepped up the amount of subsidies to revitalize brownfields. Given this highly competitive environment, it will be essential that the Ford site be backed by significant public subsidy to differentiate it in the market. Likewise, a recently released U.S. Department of Labor study entitled Repurposing Former Automotive Manufacturing State noted that federal, state, and local government incentives played a positive role in many redevelopments. This is also consistent with the research that our staff has done on five recently closed automotive plants. All five used some blend of incentives, and state incentives were one of the key roles. So, again, in today's generous incentive packages, in the multi-millions of dollars, $1.8 million is not a lot of money. But we do think that it can be a significant tool in our toolbox to help recruit new jobs and new employers to at least a portion of the site. Again, we really appreciate the opportunity to present before you and are happy to answer any questions.
And so thank you, Ms. Bedora. So when do you think, expect, hope the state to see this $1.8 million?
You would expect to see it in November of this year. Ford was required to give a one-year notice, which they did last November. So it will be coming in November of 2012.
And then maybe back to you, Senator Cohen. Are you concerned that the state might grab this for another purpose? Is that one of our concerns that prompted you to write this legislation? I'm not saying that's right or wrong or good or bad. I just maybe in your experience here, you've seen monies and funds like this go elsewhere.
Mr. Chairman, I can't speak for the state's intent. Often the legislation can only speak for what St. Paul intends and needs to do, and the fact that this was money utilized within the city of St. Paul, there's obviously a parallel in terms of the Ford plant site. I don't know if the state has any other interest. I know there are, I think, a couple people from the agencies here, and I can't speak for them.
Ms. Bedora, to that point.
As somebody who works for the city, we're all acutely aware of what the budget challenges are that we all face, so we certainly understand that there are other pressing or other issues out there that this funding could be used for. But I might just add that the intent of this funding initially to build the training center was really around job creation and job retention. So we're not asking for a different use of this funds, but rather a consistent use of the intent of this fund, which continue to build jobs in the state of Minnesota and in this region.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The appropriation came from the general fund. So I'm wondering, what the argument is to not put it back into the general fund. I know you're talking about economic development for deed. Can you tell me where the matching $1.6 million when it originally was incorporated, where that matching money came from? And I think it was more geared towards education rather than for deed. But if you could just speak to that.
Well,
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Howe, having worked on that original legislation in 96, I can tell you it was a combination. I mentioned in my comments that this was something done with MNSCU, but it was done for the purposes of the enhancement of education and job creation, because it was again, it was involved with job training for Ford employees, job training within the MNSCU system. So there's that intersection between job creation and education, and that's what was intended in 96. So I think this request parallels what we were doing back in 96. And I was involved with, again, authored the Senate legislation at the time, was involved in a number of meetings with Governor Carlson's Economic Development Agency. So I don't think this legislation in any way countermands what we were trying to do in 96.
Follow.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I guess where did the $1.6 million of matching fund come from? And then in this, I don't see MNSCU being involved in this, and that is a concern of mine because they were involved originally, and it was a general fund appropriation. So I'm not seeing that in here, that there's a partnership with them.
Mr. Chairman, very quickly, the $1.6 came from Ford, and I'll ask Ms. Bedore to address the MNSCU question.
One of the conversations we've been having with Ford is whether or not this piece of the property should not be demolished. It's relatively speaking, it's not that old. Ford has not had any interest in the site. They've had some people look at it and feel that they cannot use it. They've spoken with MNSCU. I've spoken with MNSCU, and this is not a piece of property that they're interested in anymore. It doesn't fit their service needs in terms of how they're serving their students.
Sarah Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But I think my point is that they were involved in the original project, and I don't see that funds are going to MNSCU or they're being incorporated into the economic development part of that. They're not being partnered with here, and I guess that's a direction. If we took general fund dollars to establish a partnership, I think all the partnerships, and maybe you have MNSCU here to testify that they're not interested in participating in anything going forward, but I'd like to hear that.
Ms. Bedore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator. We actually do believe that MNSCU will be a partner going forward. The use of these funds, incentives take a lot of different uses for incentives. There's things like training, there's infrastructure development, there's purchase of equipment, et cetera. We're working with St. Paul College right now actually about ensuring that they are a big partner with us in terms of providing specified training. So we do anticipate in the future, if we have a company that we think we can recruit here, but one of their biggest needs is training, that we would use some of these funds to work with MNSCU, specifically St. Paul College, to provide that specific training. So while we don't have a in-writing agreement today, we do believe that there are opportunities for partnership. I really do.
Senator Kielash.
Yeah, just Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, I'm not sure. Does this money go directly to the state general fund, the payment, or it sounds like it's in lieu of the 10 years' worth of rent. Was it supposed to go to them, or was it supposed to go to MNSCU, to help
Senator
offset
Cohen.
the cost on that? I'm just trying to get a handle of where the money is currently directed and where it was originally paid to.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash, where Ford has abrogated the lease, the money would come back to the general fund. It wouldn't go, there's no other particular fund
it would be directed toward nor any particular agency. So this request is to take that money, set up the special revenue account.
And Mr. Chair, so the if they were continuing to keep this operating, paying rent, that would be to the state of Minnesota also?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kalesh, yes.
Okay.
Senator Kreif.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Bedore, I have a question for you. We're talking $1.6 or $1.8 million?
Mr. Chair, Senator, $1.83 million.
Okay. And to expound a little bit on Senator Cohen's question, this was state money, or this was state money that was meant to try and keep Ford here through a training program?
Ms. Bedore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator. The total investment in the training center was $6 million, $5 million from the state of Minnesota, $1.6 million from Ford. So Ford paid for all the equipment and all the other furnishings that went into that building. So I wasn't there at the time, and I think Senator Cohen can address it, but I believe the intent was to provide training for Ford workers as well as MinsQ, again, as a way to ensure that we had an educated workforce. We had folks that were prepared to take those jobs at the Ford Training Center. UAW was a partner as well. So if you consider education and training as part of job creation, then yes, that's what we believe it was.
Okay.
Senator Kreif.
I guess from my perspective, there's a lot of programs out there. We just talked about one angel investment. There's a lot of other programs out there to try to draw businesses to Minnesota. And to put another $1.8 million essentially from, I look at it, from a general fund to a special fund for the city of St. Paul to draw a business on top of the other programs that are already there just doesn't seem to me like a good, like I'm being a good steward of the taxpayers' dollars. I'm trying to understand the, other than the city of St. Paul wanting an advantage to try to draw a business here, if we're all on equal footing here, I mean, I just spoke a minute ago about Greater Minnesota. We're at a disadvantage, and we see how the metro area has an advantage already. I'm not sure how my constituents would look at me if I voted to give $1.8 million from a general fund to the city of St. Paul to help them draw a business. What do we get for it in Greater Minnesota? We're at this huge disadvantage, and we're just making it greater. Well, so I guess I'd like to understand your perspective on that.
Mr. Chairman, if I might respond to Senator Kreif, then Ms. Bedore might want to follow me. In my history in this place, when I chaired the Finance Committee and when I chaired State Departments, it included all the economic development agencies within it. We had a much larger State Department's division of the Finance Committee at that time. It was about three times what the division is now. And I've authored legislation that provided the kind of support, Senator Kreif, you're talking about in terms of Greater Minnesota. I didn't author just simply legislation dealing with St. Paul or St. Paul, Minneapolis. This is a relatively unique situation, I would argue. The Ford plant site is immense, and the elimination of it, which was not supported by anybody within the state, Governor Pawlenty was actively involved in attempting to get a response from Ford. It was very clear, unlike 1996, Ford had no interest. Governor Pawlenty didn't get much of a reaction. Mayor Coleman went to Detroit, didn't get much of a reaction. It was clear Ford was pretty well set in what they wanted to do. They kept the plant open on a kind of a halftime basis for a couple of years, but it was clear they weren't going to keep the plant open. And what results in the city of St. Paul is this immense piece of property with nothing there, forced upon the city of St. Paul. It's something that's taking place not in the normal course of economic development, where you have a business close or where you have problems in, say, the downtown area of urban cities or exurban sprawl. Or some of the economic displacement in Greater Minnesota. Those are the issues we've dealt with on an ongoing basis in the legislature and have been expected in the ongoing change of demographics, geography, whatever, of the state and of the cities within the state, no matter where they're located. This is a little bit different because you have the removal of a huge manufacturing facility on huge acreage. This obviously wasn't a small manufacturing plant. Or say when Whirlpool closed in St. Paul X number of years ago, there wasn't a legislative effort. There wasn't a request for the passage of legislation to deal with that. Those kinds of things happen. This one's unique, and it puts St. Paul in a difficult posture. Now, Ms. Bedora could talk in more detail about how the monies might be used, but I would suggest this is a unique situation that we haven't seen, at least during the time I've been in the legislature. In the same way, when the 1996 legislation was passed, that was legislation sought by a Republican governor with a DFL Senate and a Republican House. And it was a DFL House, I'm sorry. It was 2 years before the Republicans took the majority. But it was clearly on a bipartisan basis, and it was done under very unique circumstances, as is the case in this instance.
Senator DeCryf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess from my perspective, the reason this money was brought forward is we were trying to keep a large business here that had thousands of employees. And those thousands of employees, the hope was we're going to be paying taxes in the state of Minnesota to offset this, which would be ultimately, hopefully, a good thing for Minnesota. Now, as it turns out, that didn't work. I would look a little differently at this if you had Motorola wanting to come in here, or if you had Nissan wanting to come in here, and we needed to continue this to have a specific large company come in and pick up where Ford left off, but that's not the case. So currently, it seems like we're going to take this money and, quite frankly, try to go out and find someone, which there's already programs out there to, you know, and organizations out in the metro area that are going to be working on that, and St. Paul obviously will be actively working on that. But I have a hard time saying, let's take this money and give it to the city of St. Paul anyway, even though there's no jobs there, bringing these tax dollars in. If you brought a large company that said, we need a little help, I'd look at that differently. But right now, it's just air. It's just talk.
Senator Kreif, you drive a pickup.
Pardon me?
You drive a pickup truck. They made some pretty good pickup trucks at this facility at one point.
I drive a Chevy.
I have...
That's the problem. That is the problem. You caused them to fail.
I have the entire right side of the committee, but I'm going to take a call one at a time. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Cohen, I think what will be helpful, I think Senator LaCroix has an important point, which is, you know, in terms of this fund, you know, what's in it for me, kind of. But I think it will be helpful to explain. You're my neighbor, so I know the plant quite well, and I have a lot of people who worked in that plant. And actually, I have a lot of people who work on your side of the river who had business that catered to the plant, and they are no longer in business. So when the plant left, not only they vacated a huge piece of land along the river, but a lot of business went out of business, and a lot of people who live in the surrounding area are no longer there. They don't no longer have jobs. So from a kind of a very practical point of view, we really need major investment in trying to figure out how to do that. So understanding the scale of the impact to the local area would be very important, I think, because clearly, you know, I would love to say, yeah, we need, you know, to send this money back to the state and everybody should benefit. But the problem is even this little money will do nothing, will do very little for the area itself. So if you could explain the scale of this, you know, the number of jobs that were lost for the surrounding community, the impact on the land and what we'll have to do, the cost of that, you know, if you have some information about the businesses that are impacted, because the cost to that particular area is so huge that we totally need this done. So if you could help us understand kind of the magnitude of the impact for this area.
If I can ask Ms. Bedora to...
Ms. Bedora, I know you have a...
Thank you,
Mr. Huge file on your desk, and you've been working on this for years, so you're the one to ask.
No, I had another birthday, so my memory is not as good as it used to be, and I do not have that information with me. I apologize, Senator, but I can get that for you. But you're right. I mean, not only did this plant employ 2,300 people, again, throughout the region, these aren't just City of St. Paul residents. Only 20% came from the City of St. Paul. The rest were the region. And all those people spent money. They all shopped throughout the state. So, I mean, I understand your point in terms of what your constituents would say. I would say that this body in the past has recognized this as a regional and a state asset. And there is always a debate about the use of incentives, for example. And you're right, there are some tools. I think most economic development professionals would tell you, however, that the toolbox is not full and it's not where it needs to be in order to recruit new businesses to the site. We consider DEED and Greater MSP as key partners for us in doing this work going forward. You know, they haven't torn it down yet, and they'll finish their environmental testing. That will kind of dictate what the time frame is, what's in that dirt. So, but the research that I mentioned earlier, both the study that the legislature commissioned, our own research, and the research by the U.S. Department of Labor, is that in order to get these large brownfield redevelopments to happen, you actually have to have some real money that you can put on the table. And I don't believe that DEED has that pot of money that's going to do the trick here. And this is an opportunity that we have today with this $1.8 million, and it's an opportunity for funds that we believe really were to create jobs and really pursue economic development. And so we can't please all of the constituents across the state, but we do think it's important for the state of Minnesota to try to rebuild some of that job base there.
I've got Senator Howe and Senator Tomasoni, and I'd encourage us to wrap this up. And I think this is an issue that should stay with the Jobs Committee, Senator Cohen.
That was my understanding, Mr. Chairman.
So, Senator Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I need to get with Senator Cohen and find out how you get such a favorable fiscal note on this, because, you know, every time I deal with a fiscal note on an uncollectible tax, and we're going to change it because the tax hasn't been paid, it comes back with a $20 million cost, because even though the tax is uncollectible, it's there, it's a liability, it's something that the state is looking forward, and if you're changing the law, even though we haven't been collected it, there's some sort of a cost that I don't understand. But yet now we've got money that's, if we do nothing with your bill, the general fund is going to get $1.9 million. But magically, with your bill, it's seen as a credit and then an offset, and it comes out at zero. And if nothing happens, I need to understand this fiscal note, if nothing happens, the general fund goes up. This bill does nothing but take money from the general fund. It does not add anything to the general fund. So I need to know, is there somebody here that can speak to this fiscal note?
Senator Howe, Senator Cohen has figured out this whole fiscal note process. He's been here several decades. I think so. He's not going to give away the secret. So.
No, to the contrary, Mr. Senator Cohen. First of all, it's not several decades.
Few.
I'm taking notes.
Second, I'd be delighted to work with Senator Howe in the fiscal note process and try to help him along. All he has to do is show up with his legislation. I'll teach him the tricks.
There you go. Senator Tomasoni, briefly.
Yeah, very briefly. Senator Crafew actually had me agreeing with you again for a while. As I read the fiscal note, and if I understand what has happened over the years, Ford was paying a lease payment to admin, which would be general fund money, if I'm not mistaken, since 1996. And so the general fund has collected quite a bit of money as a result of this lease, and I think that this is not an unreasonable request by the City of St. Paul to try and redevelop that land, because once the land does get, if they don't redevelop it, it's going to sit there non-productive and there won't be any more money coming in. And I think it's probably not a bad idea to allow them to have a little bit of money to jumpstart the economic development of that area again, because it's a huge parcel of property that will otherwise just remain undeveloped.
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. Thank you, Senator Cohen, for livening up. And I know you do miss this committee.
Very much so, Mr. Chairman. And now I know why.
So, members, Senate File 1894 will be laid over for further consideration. Members, let's now move to Senate File.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Cohen. And thank you, Ms. Bedore, for all your work on this. Senate File 2223, the ever-patient Senator Ortman. Okay.
And Senator Ortman, I have a number of names down to testify, and so if you could have them come to the table with you, that'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Senator Ortman, welcome to the Jobs Committee.
Thank you. I haven't been here this year, but I have been before this committee before, and when it was structured as the Economic Development Committee. And I would remind members that in 2006, I first held an economic development summit in the city of Norwood Young America because they had just lost their two biggest employers, which was really hard on the community. Norwood Young America and the cities of New Germany and Hamburg all hope for special legislation to come out of this committee today. They are very small cities that are located on the west side of my district. Carver County is the smallest of the seven-county metro area in terms of its population, and these communities are on the western side of that district, touching upon McLeod County and Sibley County right at the borders. That first economic development summit in 2006 was designed to help local elected officials in the state and others, the business community, to work together to recruit new businesses to the community. They have been somewhat successful in doing that, but I would say that in 2010, found that they still needed more help. And so I brought a bill to the committee here in 2010. The committee was kind enough to load themselves up on a bus and go on a tour, and Senator Tomasoni was on that tour with me. I believe Senator Metzen may have been, Senator Kielash was, and other members of that Economic Development Committee toured the cities that might be affected by this legislation. Norwood Young America, Mayor, and New Germany were sites in the visit, and we had dinner with the former mayor at the time, John Fahey. And I also have with me the current mayor of Norwood Young America, Tina Diedrich. I do have an A1 amendment, members, and I would ask for the committee's indulgence in adopting the A1 amendment so we can put the bill in the form that I would prefer.
So members, I think everyone has a copy of the A1. I will move the A1 and put this bill in the order that the author prefers. All in favor of the A1 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The A1 is adopted. Senator Ortman.
Thank you. Members, as I said, these small cities on the western side of the district face some unusual and unique challenges. In particular, the water and sewer treatment facility requirements as being part of the seven-county metro area are a huge burden. And we've come to realize that they are at a breaking point where they must make improvements to the wastewater treatment systems in their communities, but don't really have the wherewithal among the residential property values to levy for those costs. And the Department of Economic Development has suggested that perhaps with this special legislation, then they would be eligible to participate in a program called the Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program. And then they could apply for those funds like other Greater Minnesota communities and seek state assistance. The city of Norwood Young America has recruited a new employer to the community, but can't support the wastewater treatment system there, can't support the additional hookups for the system without the expansion of the system. And so they're in a catch-22, and that's why we're here today. And I would ask both the former mayor, John Fahey, to testify, and then also the current mayor, Tina Diedrich.
Senator Ortman, thank you. Mr. Fahey, is it you want to take the next slot here? Welcome to the committee, and please state your full name for the record.
John Fahey, City of Norwood Young America. Good morning, Mr. Chair, Senators, and committee members. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to testify on behalf of Senate File 2223. My name is John Fahey, and I am the chairperson of the Norwood Young America EDC and also the former mayor. The city of Norwood Young America is a standalone community located on the western edge of Carver County. The population of NYA is slightly more than 3,400 and is not part of the Metropolitan Utilities Service Area. Despite the fact that the community is more rural in nature, being located just 3 miles from the McLeod County border, it is ineligible to apply for many of the state's Greater Minnesota Economic Development Grant programs. The City of Norwood Young America is hoping to become eligible for the Greater Minnesota Business Development Public Infrastructure Grant Program for a number of reasons on which we'll testify here today. Over the past 5 to 10 years, the city of North Young America has experienced the closing of several larger employers, including Oak Grove Dairy, Schwann's, and Norwood Foods, which resulted in the loss of 300-plus good-paying jobs. Moreover, one of the community's larger employers, Young America Corporation, has reduced employment significantly over the last 8 years. Due to the loss of businesses and jobs, the city has made it a priority to attract new employers to the community. The city is currently working with a serious prospect for the former Norwood Foods 50,000-square-foot manufacturing facility. This facility is currently in foreclosure and has been vacant for over a year. The prospect we are working with is also a food manufacturer that hopes to relocate its operations from another state. This prospect has ties to another successful Minnesota business. The prospect would potentially create 55 good-paying jobs on day one and up to 85 jobs after day two, after 2 years. The average wages are above $12 an hour, with management positions paying upwards of $20 an hour. If the prospect successfully acquires a facility, they intend to make approximately $8 million in improvements to the building, including the installation of machinery equipment. Unfortunately, the project is not without its challenges. Which are due in part to the fact that the city operates its own water treatment plant and wastewater treatment facility.
I'm going to get your name wrong.
Mayor Diedrich.
Mayor Diedrich?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to committee.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing our testimony this morning. Thank you, committee. My name is Tina Diedrich. I currently represent the citizens of North Young America as their mayor. I'm just going to add a few points that former Mayor Fahey just add to that, that most of the businesses in North Young America have fewer than 20 employees, and the vast majority are between just one and four. The city's largest employer is the Young America Corp, and again, they have reduced their workforce quite a bit. The majority of the people living in North Young America who are eligible to work have to commute to other city to find employment. The city of North Young America has been proactive when it comes to economic development. The city purchased land in 2006 to establish an industrial park on the southeast edge of the community. The city paid for all the road and utility improvements to make the industrial park shovel ready. Over the past 5 years, the city has made significant improvements to its wastewater plant and its water plant and wastewater treatment facility. All these improvements cost the city well over $12 million. And the city received no financial assistance from the Department of Employment and Economic Development due to the fact that it was ineligible for the Greater Minnesota Business Development Infrastructure. City leaders of North Young America want our community to become a bedroom community. We want it to be successful and standalone community that is able to offer a variety of employment, professional services, and shopping opportunities. The investment, this business prospect that would bring to town and the jobs that they would provide would be a real big incentive for our community. It would bring back a lot of hope and prosperity for our citizens. And I want to thank Senator Ortman and for sponsoring the legislation and this committee for considering our eligibility in this program. I think this legislation would really offer an incentive for the citizens to come to town.
Mayor Diedrich or Senator Ortman, if my young family lived in Norwood, Young America, where would my kids go to public school?
There is an elementary school in North Young America, and as well as a high school.
Central High School.
Central. It's District 108.
Okay, thank you. I had a number of... Senator Dietzick, did you have it? No. Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor Diedrich and Mayor Fahey, might have been before your time, but you had two communities out there 15 years ago or so, and I give the communities a lot of credit. They, instead of having, maybe this is good news or bad news, instead of two mayors, you have one mayor. Instead of two, city councils, you have one. And what happened back then, we had what they called the Board of Innovation and Cooperation. And we gave, the state gave, if you will, so much per person in your communities to encourage you to merge. And I'm just, I don't know why I'm saying this, just give you a little history of your own communities. But and that's what I think Senator Lilly and I were visiting about. We have to do more of that, do more with less around here. An example would be like the South St. Paul, West St. Paul fire departments merged about 5 years ago, one chief instead of two deputies instead of four, and it's working. And what you did, or your predecessors did, was what we as elected officials should be doing more of and encourage mergers and so forth and so on. So anyway, that's your history lesson for the day, Mayor Dietrich. But so I want to encourage you, the members, to vote for this. I guess not today, but I suppose it'll be tabled. But so there you go. When you go to these classrooms, you can see, you know.
Senator Metzen, I was hoping you'd make a motion.
Can I make a motion?
Send it to the floor.
Also move Mr. Chairman. This bill.
Senator Metzen is going to make a motion, then I'll recognize somebody. Senator Metzen.
Yes, I so move.
All right. Senator Metzen moves that Senate File 2223 be recommended to pass, and this would go to the floor. Senator Tomsoni.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman is absolutely right about having gone out there and visiting this area and finding out what's going on. But I think when you had the bill in front of my committee, it was for Carver County. It was the whole county, right? I don't remember exactly. But in this particular bill, I was concerned that we're designating a city that would be eligible for this grant that is not eligible right now because of the designation in law. And I was worried that maybe there would be other cities coming in, and then the amendment came in, and sure enough, there's a couple other cities in there now. And so this is basically money that's coming right out of the Greater Minnesota Fund, and it just concerns me that we would be designating cities to be eligible for this when it's basically a Greater Minnesota Fund that doesn't have any kind of designation. I would assume you have to still apply for the funds and be deemed eligible by deed. Is that correct?
That's correct, Senator Tomsoni. Senator Tomsoni, the testimony was much stronger this time than in your committee.
It was actually pretty strong that time. In fact, I told him the story about the city of Kinney that was having the same problem up in my area. And,
can you tell that story again, Senator?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
No. Please.
It's a pretty good one. No, it's actually a pretty good story. I'll tell you
about it. Tell it to the senator in private, though.
But I'm concerned that I'm very empathetic to this, but I'm also concerned that we're designating cities in this particular statute, and I don't think we do that normally for these types of grants.
Mr. Jensen.
Mr. Chairman, members, the money for this program comes from the bonding committee selling bonds, and the bond proceeds go into this fund. And there has been over many years a discussion about the distribution between Greater Minnesota and the metro area. So perhaps you would want to send this bill to the bonding committee to look at that distribution change.
Well,
I don't know.
That's not Senator Metzen's motion.
I don't, Chairman, I don't think that's necessary. I think they're not getting the money tomorrow morning. They've got to go in and pitch for it like everybody else. So if they maybe they don't qualify, or if they do, they get it. So it's not like you're giving it to them with this legislation.
And Mr. Chair, if I could.
Senator Ortman.
We've learned a lot since the last time we were before the committee. And one of the things that I learned was maybe the approach was too broad last time to what types of programs we would be eligible for. This one is a very specific grant program with a very specific need. We now have an interested company that wants to come into this community. There's every good reason for them to just be eligible to apply. That's all we're asking for, is that they be allowed to apply.
On the Metzen motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Ortman.
Thank you,
former
Mr.
mayor,
Chair,
current
and members.
Mayor.
Thank you very much.
An announcement on time. We've slowed down a little bit, and I apologize for not being able to get through further these bills. We have We still have some angel tax issues with Senator Lilly and Senator Nelson. Senator Peterson is patiently waiting. He's got three bills now, and I think at least one of them was laid over 2 days in a row now. But, members, we have two committee times locked in for the rest of this week, at least to start. We could go longer. But Thursday,
Friday.
We have 4:30 to 6:30. So tomorrow, 4:30 to 6:30 in room 318, and it would be our intent to take up where we left off here on the legislation that remains on our agenda. So 4:30 to 6:30 tomorrow in room 318, and then Friday, Friday we're going early. We're going early, Mets, at 8:30 a.m. Friday, 8:30 to 10:30 in room 112, so across the hall here.
I've got a half a day's work in by then.
What room is that?
112. So noticing that's on the Senate website now, and we'll update that as well. So, members, thank you for the work today and for your patience in getting through the agenda. The committee's adjourned. Good job, Carlin.